Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What do you want to see happening? Like, is this like, regardless of like whoever is doing well or not, like, what do you want to see like at the end of this tournament? Good tennis is not an answer that is valid here.
I think I already gave it away a little bit. I would like Djokovic and Nadal to have a couple great matches. I think a lot of the other players we're talking about on the ATP side are in their 20s. Their time will come. Djokovic and Nadal are on their way out, so I just want them to have a few more fireworks in their matches before it's all said and done.
I would echo Owen also. Like, a Djokovic-Nadal match, especially after a bit of the downer that we saw at the French Open would be worthy of, would certainly get my attention. And then also, I just want to see the top players hold their seedings, you know, and get to the latter rounds. And, you know, so we can have, a quartet or a good solid 6 to 8 guys that we can rely on for, you know, bigger rounds
and stuff like that, right?
To win tournaments and get people's attention that are not crazy tennis fans. Nerds that, you know, like a Davidovich-Fokina versus, Tommy Paul would be a great match for a lot of people on tennis Twitter. But if we want to go outside of tennis Twitter, that's not really going to, you know, cut through, is it? I just want to see some normality and some rivalries build. So for me, I just love to see all the players like hold their seating and we get some, you know, consistency, especially I think it's nice that we have a good mix. Because we already saw Miami, and that was exciting. I guess more gripping just to see who would come out on top and win.
Yeah.
But now I think it's also nice to be reminded every once in a while, you know, that just that shift between normality and what post Big Three could look like. I think it's, it would be nice to get some normality.
Yeah. Well said. And a couple of things to add. I'd like to see, speaking of rivalries, I'd like to see Team back and playing well and reignite his rivalries with Nadal and Djokovic on clay, because he played neither of them on clay in 2020. And I'd like to see Medvedev get one good result on the clay. It honestly feels a little comical that he is number two and sort of within shouting distance of number one, and he's yet to win a match at Roland Garros. So I'd like to see that come to an end, just sort of prepare him, I guess, for when he eventually does get that ranking. Yeah. So
and to be fair, I wouldn't even mind Medvedev, like if you're going a little bit beyond the scope of Monte Carlo and going all the way to Roland Garros. If he has like this Zverev like run and he goes like to win like three matches at Roland Garros, all of them in five sets, and then loses the other one, at least that's better than losing like right away in the first round.
I mean, so, for him, that'd be easily his best result there.
I know. And it would at least show like that he wants to do it and that he's finding a way to do it. So that's a good first step, even if it's number two. And that's weird to say that. It's a good first step at a Grand Slam. But yeah.
I think he's got to be the most underdeveloped number two in history, surface-wise.
Probably.
Yeah, and I agree with you. That's a good point. If he is going to lose, I'd like to see him go down with a fight at least and not do what he did in Miami.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, I think for me, the one thing is, and that one that got totally consolidated when I was watching a match today, and then rain delay, essentially the rain came and postponed all the matches. They were streaming a replay of 2012 final. It was Nadal and Djokovic. And I just want to see that again. That's the one thing that I was like, man, it's for a lot of things, because it's Clay and it's Djokovic and Nadal, and because they're big three and things like that, and also because of nostalgia. It's just gonna make me feel like, oh, we're back by the time that they were both like 25 and they were awesome and they were running every single shot, and you know, it would just be nice to have a couple of those things, like kind of like in a way like when I was hoping that Federer and Nadal would play again like a couple of some 3 years ago, and now Federer is still playing, so I can still have that. So hopefully this will happen at some point.
Yeah,
this goes for me for a lot of the other players that have just been missing a while, you know, for the last 3-4 years, and it just takes me back to those years of those glory days, 2008 to 2014, and when you had so many players, you know, really just at their peak. And I just want to see, I guess, Wawrinka peak later, but I'd like to see him get back and do some good results. I'd like to see team back in the mix. I'd like to see Federer playing again. I'd like to see Murray also getting back and just competing and just doing what he loves. And so, and then obviously Del Potro, how can we forget about him?
Yeah.
So it's like, if we can just get some of these players just, you know, back and just have some momentum back, it's like, you know, the matches could get even more appetizing, and we could have really good rounds early on. And then we have obviously the contenders that always live up to it on the clay, like Djokovic and Nadal and Team One at the later rounds. So it's like, would be like the perfect, you know, ideal watchable tournament for everybody. And especially with no fans, I think you really need stars
really have like a repeat of Miami in a way, because like, that would be a little, it's too much to have it twice in a row.
Especially on the ATP. I think I thought the women's tournament was very entertaining, and I thought ATP really had a lack of great matches. So I think to sort of rebound from that, we need a couple epics in Monte Carlo.
It'd be really awesome to have like some of those classics that you look 10 years from now like, oh, you remember that the final?
Where Tennis TV will make the extended highlights that are like 18 minutes, not 3 minutes.
And
I totally agree. One of the reasons I'm so eager for a Djokovic Nadal is because I watched their 2008-2009 clay matches so much, and even though I know they'll probably never do something like that again, it just makes me miss it. And and I agree with you too, Vaunch. I think we need new rivalries to brew and new players to peak, because even these top players are not managing to peak tournament in, tournament out yet. So and the good thing about that is that every single tournament is an opportunity for them to start doing that. And let's hope that this is just that for some of them.
And this is going to sound really neutral, but I just wish every player just, I just love to see every player just develop, you know. I just love to see their progression throughout the whole career. And I just, you know, if just some players can just make even a small stride, you know, get to a third round instead of a second round, or fourth round instead of the first round. You know, me, like being an American, we just haven't had a great American male tennis player for so long, especially on clay. Most of the Americans just kind of avoid the clay, or they just don't. So for me, it's nice to see that
Houston.
Right. Yeah, so exactly. So for me, it's like nice to see like Jack Sock, who's won it like twice. But it's like, I'd like to see like some players like just commit. That's why it's nice that, you know, a guy like Taylor Fritz, who's now the best American, I mean, on like, who's ranked, I think, 28 or 29, but he's the top American. But I just like to see like the Americans at least make some progress, like Tommy Paul, or like, you know, if Riley Opelka can get stuff together, get his stuff back together again. And if like Sebastian Korda is obviously the biggest prospect, but
yeah,
you know, he's not in this draw, but I'm just curious to see if more Americans will play and commit through the whole entire clay court season.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Paul, I think, has a lot of potential. He was almost up 2-1 on team at the 2019 French Open.
Yeah.
So we know that he can play at a very high level, and I think Korda is someone to definitely watch in the future as well. When you were talking about American players, I was saying American male players. If you add on clay to that, then it goes even farther back since we've had a good one. So
yeah,
it would be nice just to see players emerge with more layers to their game, because the ATP American blueprint is big serve, big forehand. And not a whole lot else. So
yeah.
I think it's really good that we are seeing a couple players emerge who have a bit more well-roundedness to their game.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
And we could see, you know, Tommy Paul and Taylor Fritz in the first round or second round of this tournament. But it's like, then you look at Taylor Fritz, he has to play Roberto Bautista Agut. So that's quite tough. Yeah. But
yeah, like now that you mentioned it, like I wanted to ask another question. Maybe I'll leave it for last. But before that, like you're talking about like developing and players developing, especially the young ones, and the one player right now who has the biggest prospect of improvement is Felix Auger-Aliassime, who has just confirmed that Tony Nadal is going to be part-time coach. I don't think he's going to be full-time. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm getting this wrong, but he's at least going to be in the coaching team for Auger-Aliassime. And what do you guys think of that? Is this something that is going to improve his game? There was a little bit of a discussion on Twitter. I'm not sure if Owen, you're the one who mentioned that. Before that, you were talking to Juan Jose. I forget his name.
Yeah, Juan Jose.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he did a thread about it, and I asked what can Tony help him do technically, and he said that the biggest thing for him would just being able to help him figure things out on the fly and help him handle adversity well, which I agree with. And I'd also like to amend my answer from earlier. I think what I'd like to see this tournament is a Nadal-Auger-Aliassime match with Tony Nadal doing the coin toss before the match. But yeah, I do think, Tony Nadal has coached one of the GOATs, so I think this could be a great thing for Auger-Aliassime.
Yeah.
He has a lot of technical talent, but as we said, he doesn't handle adversity particularly well. He sort of lacks a game plan on big points. And so if Tony can do some work with him, that would be great for him. And I think this will be a good opportunity to see it as well.
Yeah, me too. I think the first time I heard the news, I was just taken aback, like, whoa, I did not see that coming. But
nobody did, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that he's trained at the Rafael Nadal Tennis Academy. And so he knows, and he has good work ethic, and he obviously is very mature for his age. And you know, you don't just make 7 finals and get to top 20 in the world for nothing at age 20. So I think, you know, while he, and you know, he did well to get in this position, but now he's got to take it to the next level. And to see him be guided by somebody like Tony Nadal, who's been in, you know, Rafa's corner for 15 years and pretty much has a scouting on, you know, most of the players that Felix is going to be playing, but also can just, you know, provide him with the right mentality, I think, mentally, and also just round out parts of his game and just make him just more of a threat week in and week out, and just kind of, you know, add that extra bit that seems to be missing, which is shot selection and point tolerance, shot tolerance, and then pulling the trigger at the right time, and just, you know, being able, like Owen said, like to just, you know, think through the matches and just, you know, improve his tennis IQ just in general, and, you know, so he can maximize his career. And I think that needs to be the goal. I mean, there was a time back in, you know, 2014, 15 and 16, when all the top players were having super coaches, you know, the likes of Murray would have, Ivan Lendl in his corner, and then Becker and Djokovic, and, you know, Federer. I mean, obviously these are established, Federer and Edberg. And then Nadal obviously has added Carlos Moya, and so Tony Nadal obviously still helps him, time to time, and he runs the academy. So obviously a Nadal Felix match would be enticing, because
bit of a conflict of interest for Tony.
For sure. I mean, at heart,
he said he was not going to be in either. He was not going to attend the match, I think.
I think I saw that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, clay could be a good surface for Felix. I think he could learn a lot from it, and I think it could really test his game and patience. It would be a good barometer to see where he's at in his career right now, and, you know, especially with somebody like Yannick Sinner doing very well, and, you mm-hmm. know, he's obviously got his countrymen, he's Dennis also, and so it's just, you know, this would be great to see Felix, you know, get up there.
Yes. I almost think the goal for Felix should not necessarily be results. It should just be to play as much, to suffer as much, and to, like, have as many close matches as possible, almost. Because I feel like the biggest thing right now would just be, like, hit as many forehands and backhands as he possibly can. Something Brad Gilbert said to Agassi when he first started coaching him was, like, you have to suffer, you have to lose a ton of close matches, and then eventually, like, this, you'll win a close one, and the skies will part, and that's when things will start getting better. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what needs to happen with Felix, and that's how he's going to get from the level he's at to the next level. And so I think he should not look at it as a failure if he doesn't win a tournament. He should want to get in those difficult situations and just see how he does and learn to back himself in those moments.
Yeah. The only thing that stands out to me, which I think is just encouraging, and it makes me happy, is that Tony Nadal is a guy who's known for being blunt and for really mm-hmm. having a profile of player that he likes to work with, and Nadal is a model athlete for, you know, a number of reasons, and Tony Nadal is especially responsible for this. Obviously, Nadal has in his character to be the way he is, but Tony Nadal absolutely approves of Nadal's Rafa Nadal's really behavior on court, and I think it's really telling for Felix's as well, just how hard he works and just how focused he is, and just how respectful he is as well to change. And I'm pretty sure he's just going to be a sponge, absorbing all of the talent and knowledge that Tony Nadal is going to have to get him to share with him. And that's really encouraging for Canadian tennis. I think it could be probably like a new chapter in his career. So I'm just encouraged by that. So
yeah. I'm definitely excited to follow his matches this week and maybe next week if he makes it that far, and then talk about him again, because I think this could be a turning point for him.
Yeah, and I mean, to have gotten that appointment in the first place already speaks volumes about Felix, because it's like, you know, to even make that be like a consideration, you know, was so surprising, let alone the actual outcome of it, of them actually, you know, doing a whole clay court season and then potentially beyond together. But yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree about Felix, and yeah, I mean, he's only 20, people forget. So, you know, and then even like Shapovalov has Eugenie in his corner. I know it's not the most high profile like Nadal, like Uncle Tony type, but it's, you know, these guys are taking the time to develop. They know that it's not about the result this week or next week. It's about the long haul. And I think that's encouraging to see for this next sort of group of guys, you know, born between like 1999 and after, because we already know about the established players.
Yeah, it is. And I think willingness to change is very big for them, because they're not where they need to be. And I think it's really good that they know that and they're understanding of that, and they know that they need to change even if they're not sure how yet. Mm-hmm. So I think that is encouraging.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.